On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, Westworld, Doctor Strange, Arrival, Stephen Hawking, a Trump story, hamsters, and a ghost cat.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Petra, what have we been watching lately? Why have we been so lazy?
Why have we been so lazy? That is a complicated question that we may not have time to explore.
This is going to be a lot of, this is going to be the movie review.
This is going to be the catch up on all the stuff we've watched, but we haven't had time to talk about. Like, we've somehow missed some of this stuff. First, oldest, because we're starting at the very beginning here, Westworld.
Yeah, we've been watching the HBO series like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
It's,
I love it deeply.
Fantastic.
Level. It is refreshing. Maybe there's others. We don't watch a ton of TV, but that is some deep, multi-layered,
just juicy TV. If you're listening to this and there's TV that we're missing out on that is this smart, please send us a tweet, send us a message somehow. Let us know what we're missing out on, because once a week, we're like crack addicts sitting down for our fix. We're like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. It's coming on.
We are kind of like that. And it's nice to have something. The last thing I can remember people in general talking about in this way.
Game of Thrones.
Lost, I was going to say.
Really?
We didn't watch Lost, but I mean, people seem to get that. It was very deep and multi-layered and some modern-day Stanley Kubrick type stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I've told you my story about missing out on Lost, because the opening episode, I'm starting to watch The Amazing Plane Crash, and my aunt called and had some kind of drama. And me being the nice person that I am, I listened to her for like...
Listen her drone on.
2 hours about her current drama, which is just, drama of the moment. And
which is probably the dog not pooping right or something.
Exactly. It's probably something like that. But I did. I listened to it. And then I totally missed out on Lost because I never got a chance to catch up. I didn't have Hulu. And that was in the days of Hulu and the Hopper. And like, if you wanted to catch up on something like that, the only place you could was the paid services. And I didn't see it, and I didn't realize what a cultural phenomenon it was until really too late to get on board that train.
Well, people told me later that the ending was just awful.
Like
they were so disappointed. Like, this was the greatest show ever and the worst ending ever. And so it never makes me want to watch it.
Why
am I going to do that if pretty much, overwhelmingly people agree that the ending is just dog shit? How can you, when you know that's coming, how can you even enjoy it?
I just know what the ending is, so I didn't really get people felt about it. So, but Westworld is so far nothing like that. Westworld is...
It's interesting, the kind of the history of it, I think. Since we're into it, we
watched the original movie from the 70s.
And the original book?
Yeah. Well, I haven't read the book. Have you read the book?
I'm not, but the book must have been late 60s.
Yeah.
Because the movie, which is titled Westworld, was made in 1973. And
with Yul Brynner.
Yeah. Pharaoh.
One Night in Bangkok. That's how I know his name. Petra's favorite song.
It all comes back to One Night in Bangkok, doesn't it?
It does. Everything relates to that in my world.
Everything to Petra is 3 degrees away from One Night in Bangkok somehow.
And he's so humiliated by my bad taste in music. And I revel in it.
Well, the movie from the 70s, we watched it, and it seems to hold up okay. There's some glaring plot holes, but for its day, I don't know.
It's amazing. Watched it, and does hold up. It really does. It shockingly holds up, I think.
Towards the end of it, it's very Terminator-ish.
Yeah.
Yul Brynner's character is I'll tell them the basic plot. We're not going to give anything away.
Yeah. A couple of guys go to Westworld, just like in the TV series, and...
Well, what's Westworld, for people not...
All right, Westworld is an adult amusement park where there are basically robots there to do your beck and call. You can kill them, you can fuck them, you can do whatever you want to them. And yes, HBO goes way there where
and they look, and this is the deep part of the thing, which they're exploring a lot. These robots look exactly like humans.
Yeah.
Like indistinguishable. You cannot tell who's a robot and who's a person. So yeah, when these people, they want to rape one of these robots, it's kind of like acting out their real life raping people fantasies.
Yeah, it really draws up a lot of questions about where do you draw the line? Are you a moral person? Are you not a moral person? Where does life begin? And this, it makes you think. I love the series. Now, the movie goes back a little further, and they can actually tell the difference by the hands between the robots and the non-robots.
Right.
And the original, and the series, I know I'm getting convoluted here. The series actually references the movie, and in one part of the series, you can actually see Yul Brynner character kind of in the shadows in the corner.
Yeah.
They really go back to where they came from.
Yeah, they do an homage to the old. Yeah. Right. The current series, Westworld, is set in the future, even further in the future than the 1973 Westworld. Because like you said, there's props and things, and they mention the incident.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the incident that happened.
When the robots went crazy and killed the humans.
Right.
Basically.
I thought it was pretty cool in the first one, and we don't know about the book. But first of all, the book was written by Michael Crichton, and he perfected, I suppose, in later things. Or maybe you could say this was just as good. But it's a Jurassic Park plot.
It's a theme park.
It's a theme park, and there's a kind of a, oh, what do you call it, a puppet master, a guy that runs the park.
Yeah.
That kind of manipulates things, and because he does that, things get out of hand and tourists end up dying, and it's very...
And Anthony Hopkins plays the John Hammond character in the HBO series going on right now. And like, there at first when he was just the nice old man, I'm kind of like, why did they tap Anthony Hopkins for this? And the last couple of weeks, you know why they tapped Anthony Hopkins for this role. You're like, oh, yeah.
He's gone all Hannibal Lecter on him lately, hasn't he?
He has. He has. And I'm loving every second of it. The acting in this is just stellar.
They've already, for sure, two seasons. And then they say if it's a hit, then they're going to keep going. So we'll
I can't imagine it's not being a hit. Like,
it may be too cerebral for people.
I don't know. I'm going to say I think it might not be. I mean, we just watched another movie this weekend that's super, super cerebral, and it has 8.4 stars on IMDb. So
maybe there's still a few of us left.
Yeah, there are some smart people who are watching TV and movies.
So anyway, if you like the HBO series Westworld, I would recommend go back and watch the movie just to... Again, it's not perfect, but it's not bad.
Oh, yeah. Then you get to see where it comes from, and we really dug it. We did. We really enjoyed it.
Well, when the current Westworld references the old Westworld, then it's sort of like when I was watching, I felt like I was watching an episode of the new Westworld, and it was just a flashback.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's all tied in together.
We were really into it.
And how much does that... What's the dude's name? His name is James Brolin.
Oh, my God. That,
he is one of the people in the original Westworld. Who does he look like?
You were like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Doesn't he? What's his name? What's his name? And you paused it. And I was like, that looks like Christian Bale. I mean, it looks.
It's his doppelganger.
Yeah. And we looked up, you know, his page and all online. And Christian Bale is not one of his kids. His kids don't look as much like him as Bale does.
But his kid is that Brolin dude. He's a famous actor.
An actor.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dude from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
That's what I remember him from anyway.
But he doesn't look as much like his dad as Christian Bale does. I mean, it's a doppelganger. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's uncanny. I've never seen a person look more like another person in my life than, you know, Christian Bale current day looks exactly like that, like James Brolin from 1973.
Yeah.
It's uncanny.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's disturbing. It makes me nervous.
Well, I mean, it was...
Somebody's time traveling. That's going to be one of those 50 years, 100 years from now, there's going to be evidence of time travel. Look, this
and
same guy.
Go, yeah, this actor traveled back.
How did this guy play Batman in 19 blah, 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 and this dude in 1973? This is clearly a time traveler.
Maybe.
What's going to happen?
Maybe. Or maybe they'll just act like they're holding a cell phone or something. I don't know.
I don't know either. Westworld, two thumbs up.
Yes, for both of us. We really like that one.
The old one
and this is kind of a, this movie's been out for a while, but we're gonna just real quick mention that we did finally get to go see it. And we both really liked it. I think I liked it better. But Doctor Strange.
Yeah, you liked Doctor Strange a lot.
I did. It was Inception meets the Avengers.
Inception meets Avengers. Well, okay. I'll go with that. If I can pull up the right thing here. Darn it. Oh, well, I do have it, actually.
All right. I'll just go ahead and say, I really didn't read any Doctor Strange comics. That was one that I knew nothing about walking into, except we'd seen some previews, and I was like, oh, my God, I've got to watch this movie. And it's just, it's beautiful. It's really elegant. The visual effects are amazing. And I really like the story. I got into it. I totally just... Little kid in me just had a great time at this movie.
I thought it was good, too. There's lots of British acting. Lots of people speaking in their British voice.
Well, I've never been a big fan of the Sherlock dude. What's his name? Benedict Cumberbatch?
Yep. Benedict Cumberbatch.
I don't know if I said that right or not.
It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
Dang. With the little goatee and the gray sideburns, he's hot. Okay. For mature ladies, he's hot. Hank's giving me the stink out of that.
What Cumberbatch is?
Yes. Yes. As Doctor Strange.
Well, I do like that there's some time travel. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty good plot. I don't know. I told you, I think the only critique I might have is some of these superhero movies, I guess it's just part of it. There's some backstory.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be more, if I came into it about an hour later, I think it'd be more.
You hate the backstory. See, I love the backstory. I want to know where they're coming from. I want to understand them as a character. Yeah, it's not complete to me without some of that. And this is the first in multiple movies using this character. So they have to introduce him and why he has superpowers.
Yeah,
period.
I suppose. It's not the end of the world, but there's always going to be the love interest. And you know he's got to hit rock bottom, and then somebody's got to pick him up, and that's going to be his mentor, and then... He's going to, you know, it's kind of predictable, all these backstories in a way. I mean, they're all different, but they're all the same.
Well,
so that gets a little old to me. But I don't know how you're going to fix it. Like you said, you got to know their backstory. Okay, it's this chick. Instead of Vicky Vale, it's this chick. And instead of, you know, his...
You're really jaded, Hank.
Instead of Yoda, it's this chick. The bald chick.
Well, I tell you what, so. You can just drop me off and you can go shopping for the first hour of every movie from now on, but you can't ask me questions when you get in there, okay? That's our deal.
I'm like, why are they flying around? Shut up. Smack me.
Yep, that's going to
well,
be
wait
it.
A minute, how come he... Hey, shut up. Shut your big yapper over there.
And we saw that a couple of weeks ago, but I don't know. Somehow we totally skipped talking about it on the podcast last week.
So. It's still out. I think it's on one of those lost podcasts somewhere. So somebody may have it out there. It might be worth $1 million someday when we have our collection of podcasts as we release as a box set.
Mm-hmm. As a box set of all of our podcasts.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that would be mind numbing.
Yes. And one's, and one's missing. Like, it's the missing one. If you were lucky to download it someday, it's worth billions.
Well, I've got to say, I really enjoyed Doctor Strange. I think they are really perfecting. Marvel and DC are both really perfecting the superhero movie. And it's just a damn good time to be a nerd. So...
I like
makes me happy.
Yeah, well, it's a good way to mine for original plots, and this dude did a good job. I thought it was interesting, one of the characters in it whose name is Wong.
Uh-huh.
Happens to be played by a guy named Benedict Wong.
Benedict Wong.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Yeah, I guess two Wongs make a right.
Wonk, wonk. Bad joke.
What's wrong with that?
Hank, I'm going to take my shoe off and beat you to within an inch of your life, and people are going to hear some domestic violence here.
You know, that reminds me of something I'll go ahead and pull up here from last night that I thought was pretty funny.
Why'd you?
It was from our... from Twitter last night. Twitter provided me with a good little bit of entertainment last
night.
Oh,
no. Please, no.
Hashtag handyman lyrics. Come on. That was a bit of all right.
That was almost okay.
Almost okay?
That was almost okay.
That entertained me for a good hour while you were coloring your
really
hair.
You really enjoy puns.
I do like these. It was that's the hashtag is handyman lyrics.
Uh-huh.
There's a few. These are all ones that I came up with, by the way. Grandma got run over by a John Deere.
Yay.
Because you're mine, I chalked the line.
Okay.
Everybody wants to tool the world.
Okay.
Tears for fear.
Okay.
Nothing.
You had one that was okay. Keep going. Maybe you'll get it. I can't remember now.
Come nail away. Come nail away. Come
no.
nail away with me.
No.
Nailing
no.
takes me away. No. Grout. Grout.
That was
grout
the one
at the devil.
I was okay with grout at the devil.
Grout at the devil.
I agree with Bill Burr. Back in our day, women or. Rock stars dressed like women and sing about the devil.
That's right. That's right. We give Bill Burr credit for that.
Yep. Thanks, Bill.
We'll rake it up, baby, now. Rake it up, baby.
Is that really a handyman job? I think it's
twist
a partner
and
job.
Grout. Twist and grout. Come on. Come on, nothing.
I'm about, a hard audience, aren't I?
About more than a ceiling.
Yeah, I think that one's okay.
Maybe I can't fight the ceiling anymore.
Okay.
Talk like an Egyptian.
That was the one I liked, okay.
It's floor than a feeling?
No, talk like an Egyptian.
You like talk like an Egyptian?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. How about stop, hammer time? That's just straight up.
I like your meme that you've got there. That's kind of funny. From
like that?
Parks and Recreation, I think.
Okay, so there you go.
That's all thing. Right. Yeah.
I had some fun.
I'm feeling a little awkward with my, here with Hank the Handyman Lyricist.
I had fun with my Twitter brethren, yes. Brethren with that.
All right.
You saw another movie this weekend.
Yeah. Arrival.
Did you like it?
I think I have a new favorite movie.
Of all time?
Of all time.
Holy shit. That's
I want to watch it again, but like hardcore, I liked it that much. It's that smart, that moving, hits on every cylinder. I loved it.
It's pretty damn good. Amy Adams.
I kept thinking the whole time, there is nobody that can look as vulnerable as she does. You know, there she is up on this huge big screen and, you know, like, kind of the no makeup look and just
right.
God, wow, she was just moving in this. She was great.
Jeremy Renner, Forrest
yep.
Whitaker.
Yep.
Jeremy Renner is the
scientist.
Yeah, he's yep. the arrow shooting dude from the Marvel movies, right?
Hawkeye.
There we
yeah.
go.
And he plays a very convincing scientist. He did a good role. Forrest Whitaker was great as a colonel, no nonsense. Trying
yeah.
to make these decisions. I mean, it was a good cast.
And that's another one of these, I'll say it again, like Stanley Kubrick, deep, multi-level, M. Night Shyamalan.
I thought it was better than.
No, I mean, his stuff back when he started, it was good.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I See Dead People. What
yes.
was that? Yeah, this beats that to me.
Well, it's that kind of movie. It's
yeah.
just, it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't give everything away.
Yeah, I don't want to go into a deep review. If you haven't watched this movie and
well,
you're listening
all,
to this podcast, yeah. you need to.
It's not. Well, first of all, we'll warn you. It's not like superhero action movie.
No.
It's cerebral. Yeah, yeah. There's aliens, but it's not like they're
Beyond,
attacking. There's not a lot of action. It's just a cerebral. It's a cerebral movie, is the best I can say.
It is. It's cerebral, but it's also a deep feeling movie.
Oh, yeah.
This, I know sitting through the first 20, 30 minutes of it, I was impressed with how quiet it was in some places. Like, they didn't go heavy with a score. Like, the quiet left you feeling very kind of lonely. And then, you know, gradually they build in more sound and there's more people involved. And they're so good. Like, the foreshadowing is just expert in this movie. And when they do drop, like, there is a plot twist, kind of. But they've laid all of the groundwork for it. When it happens, if you're really following along, you're just like, oh,
right.
You know, you're just amazed.
And it's a good enough, it's laid down good enough till I had to ask you for sure. Like, I sort of knew what happened.
Yeah.
But then I asked you, and like, oh, yeah, okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
But then once somebody tells you, like, oh, yeah, and then you do want to watch it again because you want to catch all the,
yeah,
all the things you might have missed along the way that led you to what really happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's,
that's hard to describe.
It is.
We don't
want to
give it away. We don't want
to
give it away. But it's just, it's a pretty interesting movie. It's about humanity in general.
I don't know. Like, I'm looking for all kinds of places to find my faith in humanity still restored right now. And the fact that this movie even got produced, released to a wide audience, and is getting the kind of love it's getting just makes me feel better about humanity in general.
Well, it's obviously doing very well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least I think it is, wasn't it? Like, I don't know.
I think so.
It's getting tremendously
so
high ratings, so I assume that means high audience attendance.
I did hear somebody coming out of the movie that was just shitting all over it, and I was kind of like, yeah, bet you.
Well,
I came out in just tears. I did, but good tears, not bad tears.
Yeah, right. I mean, the only thing I can think of, if you go into it thinking, oh, Arrival, that means an action space movie, like Independence Day, then, yeah. No,
you're going to be disappointed.
Then, yeah, but if you don't go in it with any expectations, you should be.
And
in for a
there
good
are going to be some people who just don't understand it. Like, my brother
yeah
mentioned that he kind of had to explain it to his girlfriend,
yeah,
and he, it was kind of funny. I hope she's not listening to this, but he's like, made the movie. And I was like, yeah, I had to kind of explain a little bit to Hank too.
Yeah, I did.
But I'm glad that you said that you got it and you just got confirmation.
Yeah, basically. But, well, they don't knock you over the head with it. I mean,
you have to look for it.
I mean, they could at the end, I will say this, they could have edited it a little more to make it perfectly obvious what the ending was. But I like it that they left it just a little bit to where you would, like I said, like walking to you on the way out, like, is that what did you think happened? And then you say, like, okay, well, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not ambiguous. It is ambiguous, but not crazy ambiguous.
I think it's the right amount of ambiguous.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, they just, it's, if this movie doesn't
subtle
get something for editing, then what's wrong with you?
it's
the awards ceremony folks.
Yeah. I mean, it's subtle, but it's,
yeah,
but it is pretty good.
I really do think I have a new favorite movie, and I'll just throw that out there, which is tough because usually, you know me, I love the Marvel, the DC, the superheroes, you know, I want crazy.
Well, that's great. Well, when you get this on DVD, you can get it through Amazon. You can get it through our link that takes you to Amazon, and then we'll get a little piece of the old Arrival action.
Except we don't, because they know our home address.
What are you talking about?
We can't.
No, we can't, but our listeners can.
Our good listeners can, yes. If you want to to buy Arrival on DVD through Amazon, please visit our homepage. Like, whoops, I didn't pick up on that one. Sorry, I was being dense there.
Well, make up for it. Tell them where I can go.
Hillbillynerdtalk.com. Can't talk tonight. There's an Amazon banner on our homepage that will let you shop from Amazon and give us a little gratuity. It doesn't cost you anymore. You can also follow us there. You can listen to our old episodes. You can follow me on Pinterest, Hank on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, and all that's on hillbillynerdtalk.com.
All right. This leads into this one pretty good. According to Stephen Hawking, humans only have about 1,000 years left.
Stephen Hawking?
Yes, Hawking, not Hawkins. Bite me, Hank. Bite me, bite me, bite me.
You've got your hillbilly dialect going good there. Old Hawkins.
Bite me.
Good old Stevie Hawkins. Old little Stevie Hawkins.
According to Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
All right. In his 74 years, Hawking has spoken several times about our doomed fate, with risk of things like nuclear war increasing, as well as the oncoming threat of global warming. He has also warned that the development of artificial intelligence could end mankind.
He's starting to piss me off.
Really?
He's too doom and damn gloom. He's talked about aliens. If they come, they're going to jack us up. Artificial intelligence, that's probably going to be the end of humanity. Now he's saying we got to find a new planet in 1,000 years. Like, come on, dude.
Well, you know what? We won't listen to scientists. I absolutely agree with him. We discredit, discard, like if 98% of our scientists are saying global warming is a problem, that we've got to do something about it.
Yeah.
And the 2% that they've managed, that the oil industry has managed to buy, saying, no, 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 they're just making that up. We listen to the 2% because that's what we want to hear. So I absolutely agree with him being a little bit doom and gloom. I think people, his celebrity, because let's face it, he is a celebrity. He needs to use it.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll work out. I'm just saying. And
he's given us options. He says we must continue to go into space for the future of humanity.
Well, and he's one of the smartest dudes around. So if he says it, it does make you worry a little bit, especially about the aliens. Damn.
Well, I mean, if we don't do something, if we don't turn ourselves around, hell, we're even killing off all the bee species, and we're not going to have anything to pollinate our food before much longer. You know, we're going to starve to death. And that may be the plague that gets our numbers down to something manageable when we only like the ultra rich can afford food.
Or a giant, who knows what it'll be. It's, yeah, I mean, our species, we don't realize, rarely. And even if the people who do realize, like what I'm about to say, once in a while you have a little moment, we don't really realize. I mean, we are floating around in the universe. Just think how big the universe is.
And we're in the backwoods galaxy.
We're floating around on a little rock.
Backwoods part of the galaxy.
Yeah, we're floating around on a little rock around a continuously exploding nuclear bomb we call the sun.
Yeah.
And at any time, another piece of rock
could crash into us and end it all.
Even if, apparently they keep saying, like, even if it was the size of, like, Kentucky, the meteor would destroy the world.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like things are so damn fragile. And apparently it's happened before. Yeah. And we wouldn't be able to do a damn thing about it. All of our technology, everything, it's not going to be like Armageddon, people. I hate to tell you, like the movie. It's going to be like Armageddon, but it's not going to be like the movie Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it is.
So it's fragile.
And we're looking. I mean, there are scientists still looking. And it's sad that it doesn't really make the news so often. But they found Proxima B, which is an Earth-sized planet orbiting the star Proxima Centauri's habitable zone. I mean, so there's...
We mentioned that a while back on one of these shows.
This is in the article, too.
That's awesome. And it's not a... I mean, in our way of thinking now, it's an incomparable, you know, far away. But it's not like it's 100 million light years away. It's like, what, 100 light years away? I mean...
Four.
Four light years away. All right. I mean, again, some of these distances, you literally get into the hundreds of billions of light years away.
Yes, you do. You do. But so they're may.
4 light years. Like, what if you could just get close to the speed of light? Like, we know you're not going to get to the speed of light. What if you just got to half of that?
Well, with relativity, it would slow down the aging of people on the ship. So...
So if we could manage to get to even half of the speed of light, then this thing's only 8 years away.
Yeah.
Or obviously a fourth of the speed of light, it's 16 years away.
Even if it was a hundredth of a speed.
Yeah.
If it was 400 years away.
Right, that'd be something.
That is something that a generational ship going out, you know, a well-planned could do.
Right. So it's pretty, it's interesting.
Yeah, so.
And if Mr. Hawking, yeah, I mean, if that motivates people or somehow gets some people talking, I'm all for it.
Good.
And obviously he's done a lot of good stuff. I'm just giving you,
crap, Mr. Hawking. You're giving me all kinds of wrath.
I'm not giving you wrath.
You are.
I'm giving Mr. Hawking wrath.
You're good. Well, you started by giving it to me and then you gave it to him and, you're awful.
Awful.
You're not this bad, though. All right. This is from Raw Story.
Oh, was that all on Mr. Hawking?
Yeah. I'm moving forward. All right. Well, this is written by David Edwards.
I will say one more thing before Hawking. Wasn't it we have 1,000 years, what he said?
1,000 years.
He estimates we got 1,000 years left.
So we got to figure something out. We have got, and I mean, that's the end of humanity, so.
What do you think? Can I ask one more thing before we move on?
Yeah.
Like, what if we did population control? Isn't that a big problem? Is that there's
that
just too
is
many,
a big problem.
There's too many damn people.
Yeah.
I mean, there just is. I mean, at some point, you look around, you know the Earth isn't getting bigger, but we're populating it like crazy. Sooner or later, we're just going to run out of resources. I mean, anybody.
Absolutely.
You don't have to be Stephen Hawking to figure that out, right?
Exactly, but you have religions telling you to
go populate,
go forth and populate, and the way to increase your religious foothold in the world is to make more babies. And
yeah, I guess.
I mean, it's just, I mean, we're really at a crossroads for the human species, I think. When we're talking about the whole species and when we just ignore, you know, our religions. I mean, we're going to have to figure shit out in the next 100 years.
Unless there is some giant plague, meteorite that kills half the population, something. I mean, something's got to reduce our population.
Or aliens arrive and totally set us on the right track. Please do that. If you're listening to our podcast from Proxima Centauri, please
come down and help us out.
Kick our asses a little bit and make us get on the right track here.
Come down and help us out.
Help a sister out.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, yeah, I think that would be, if there is some solution on Earth to extend it, it's going to have to be just less damn people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
People like me and you that don't have kids, everybody ought to come up to us every day.
And say, thank you.
Exactly. You're welcome out there, people. You're welcome.
Yes. Because our taxes are paying for kids' schools. And I'm happy doing that. Don't give me the stink eye. I'm thrilled. I don't want to live with stupid people.
I don't know.
Was my mic off or did I turn it back on there?
Okay. No, it's on. No, I may
have accidentally had my mic off for a while. So we might be up a creek. I don't know.
We'll check it.
This may be a weekly feature for Petra.
What's that?
I hate Trump.
I like this feature.
Okay. All right.
I like it.
This is from Raw Story this week. This week's I Hate Trump story is from Raw Story.
Okay.
Mr. David Edwards. The title of this article, This Is Our Moment. Trump's win emboldens activists behind effort to make rape legal.
Make rape legal.
Yes.
All right. So these.
Yeah. The advocate behind legalizing rape says that masculine behaviors that were previously labeled sexist and misogynist are now okay just because we elected Donald Trump.
Is this a spoof account?
No, it's not.
Now, how could somebody legitimately, I'm going to ask some questions here, literally legalizing rape?
On private property. That's his thing. All right. Seriously, you, like, you're private, appalled by this.
On private property.
And I appreciate this. But this is the mentality that women face daily. Like, it's, you're a good guy. There are shit guys out here.
Private
so.
Property, huh? So I can get you back to the old Yates Ranch, then it's Westworld.
Then it's Westworld, exactly.
Really? That's what this dude thinks?
Yeah.
Okay.
He interprets the decision of the American people to mean that you can exercise your free speech, your opinions, and your desire to flirt with attractive women without having to obey the speech police. I get so bent out of shape about this, I get tongue-tied, people. Okay? This fucking pisses me off.
Get on, Petra.
All right. I'm going to read some of his own words here.
Now, tell me this guy one more time.
All right. His name is Darush Valizedeh. And we'll put a link to this article. He suggests that Trump's election has made it acceptable to call women fat pigs.
Okay.
He's called to make rape legal on private property.
Mm-hmm.
And he says now you can exercise your free speech, your opinions. Yeah. Thank God for Trump is what he's saying, basically.
Go Trump. That's my dude. That's what he says.
Don't even say that.
He says, that's what he's saying, right?
Yes. He's in an state of exuberance that we now have a president who rates women on a 1 to 10 scale in the same way that we do, and evaluates women by their appearance and their feminine attitude. We may have to institute a new feature called Would Trump Bang to signify the importance of feminine beauty ideas that cultivate effort and class above sloth and vulgarity. Simply look at his wife and the beautiful women he has surrounding him to remind yourself of what men everywhere prefer and not the beauty at any size, sewage, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Wow, this guy was waiting for... Mr. Trump to be elected.
Absolutely. This is one of those guys who
voted
for him.
He's like, oh my God, one of my people finally got elected.
Yeah. He says, we now have a president who will not encourage anti-male propaganda, rape culture, and female victimhood. While I do have minor concerns of the influence of his feminist-minded daughter Ivanka, Trump will not continue the attack on men that has been institutionalized since the sexual revolution and accelerated during the 8 years of Obama. Because our current cultural dystopia is the result of intense long-term manipulation, it is more than enough for Trump to simply not touch the gender issue to allow the culture to return to a more patriarchal order. Stop feeding the rot and it will die off, allowing biology to naturally reassert himself. He's basically saying just because we have President Trump, it's all going to get better for sexist pigs.
Right. I wonder this guy, where could he possibly work? What kind of situation could that dude's life possibly be?
I don't know. I would like to look into it further.
He could live here. He could easily live here in Appalachia.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we have a culture here where, a lot of girls around here are brainwashed till they believe that in a weird way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's plenty of women that would, like, just love him. He says, this is our moment. The door is opening for a renaissance of masculinity where men can take pride in being men. And the best part of it is we don't need to wait for Trump to do anything. His victory is more than enough for us to apply our own individual strength in seizing the bull's horns where we can come out of the politically incorrect closet and assert our beliefs and behaviors.
I bet however much money that dude in the bedroom is like a BDSM, femdom, sissy maid dude.
He might be.
I guarantee it. There's no way. Somebody that's that overt, that guy's, it almost, this whole article sounds like a joke. I believe you that it's serious because I know there's dumbasses like that, but.
It is serious. And it does legitimize all of these jackasses who think catcalling women and treating us like crap is the way to go.
Yeah. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the BDSM and femdom or whatever you're into. I'm not saying that.
No, you're not.
The point is that people that are that macho acting, you know, this you know, this kind of dudes usually are the very ones that somehow end up.
I don't know. I mean, I really don't, but because those are the type of dudes that,
you know, like
I can't stand.
You know, like these very anti-gay, I hate gays, gays are awful, and they're the very ones that get caught in bathroom stalls doing gay stuff. Like, I just have a feeling this dude is somehow compensating for his own. He's guilty for his own feelings somehow. I'll bet my life on it.
That's Hank's psychology.
That's my psychology of this dude, whoever he is. I can just see him tied up with a mistress and a whip and all the whole nine yards.
Yeah, even if he was, though, he's probably like, well, I'm paying her, so I'm still in charge.
Oh, yeah. For him, it wouldn't be a healthy thing.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I mean, if you're into that and it's, you know, it's all, it's a healthy thing and you're just into it and blah, blah, blah.
Then go on with your bed.
Absolutely. But, anyway.
Yeah, he seems to be, I mean, and I just, here's his picture.
How do you even make any news? Like, that just seems like a random person saying a bunch of shit.
Because he talks about legalizing rape. And yeah. I mean, that is something that as a feminist, we're going to be like, oh, hell no. And
yeah,
one thing about the whole Trump presidency, I think those of us who are on the liberal side are going to very much stand up for any suffocation of our rights.
Oh,
we're not going to stand behind it.
That's good. I like it. I like it. That's good.
Good.
I agree.
Good. Because that guy's I don't even know what to call him. But, like, but these are the people who are emboldened by this election, who want to come out of their fucking holes and be like, yeah, we won.
Yes, I can finally speak my piece.
Yeah.
I can finally spew all my stuff. It's been
my hatred
been
and my rage.
I've been holding in forever.
And yes, there are women who are going to still have sex with that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some voluntarily.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a crazy story.
It is. All right. Then I'm going to end. This is my show this week.
I like it. You go, Petra.
All right. This is my feel-good story, okay?
Yeah, you're going to surprise me with this one.
All right.
Is it puppies or kittens?
Better. Internet rallies behind genteel old man after death of beloved pet hamster.
Aww.
Isn't that awesome?
Aww.
All right. Okay. This guy, he's a YouTube icon, nearly senior citizen, yet a gamer.
Okay.
William Robin.
Okay.
Is not one of the
sorry about
finally,
your boss, William.
He's not one of the finely cultivated media presences. This is a guy who is just out there on his own. He's awesome.
Are you doing YouTube videos?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a 53-year-old disabled vet who joined YouTube over a decade ago,
nice.
Posting reaction videos and delighting in, like, tabletop games, music, podcasts, and whatever he finds.
Good. Maybe he'll find us.
All right. One of the biggest support forces in his life has been his pet hamsters.
No.
He's lost his wife recently, 2014.
Yeah.
He's been unable to sustain himself since.
Yeah, because the hamsters ate her.
Well, no. No, actually, she had treatment for Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I gotcha.
So, I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
He suffers from fibromyalgia, back pain, carpal tunnel, many other complications. His
right.
finances took a massive hit after his wife died. He lost his house. He had to relocate to a partitioned off room in a garage without a bed, kitchen, or real amenity.
Dang, poor dude.
But at least he had his hamsters.
Yeah.
And then Thursday, his oldest hamster, Patches, passed away.
Patches. I must ask for the name.
All right.
Poor Patches.
All right. This is his quote. She was one of my older, more favored hamsters. She was Patches. She was about a pound and a half, and she passed away this morning.
A pound and a half.
This is the bad part about pets, as they die before you do, especially hamsters. He said he was wrecked, and he'd post more videos the next day, and then he was going for a walk.
Do we have how old Patches was?
No, but...
How old do you think a hamster lives?
You know what? I had one that lived almost 5 years, but like the vet was like, they don't live that long.
So 3 or 4 years, maybe?
2 or 3 years is usually a hamster lifespan. So.
Well, William should know that Patches isn't exactly going to be.
But he loved Patches, okay? Come on.
I got you.
All right, but now listen to this.
Okay.
Between posting the video and getting ready to get up on Friday and get back to his channels, viewers sent him... sent his missive to the top of Reddit's videos, and there was renewed interest in his GoFundMe from last year. Okay. Donations have been pouring in, and his subscriber count on YouTube and followers on Twitter.
Petra's, I like when Petra cries. That's
have
awesome.
Continued to rise. A Redditor reached out to the Shelton, Washington man, and he's yet to respond directly to the support following the death of Patches, but he's thankful for all the new friends. He says, holy smokes, thank you all so much. I sincerely hope I do not bore you all to tears. Take care, everyone.
Oh,
but
that's a great story.
Great. Yeah. Isn't great? I mean, hopefully, I mean, I feel so bad that he lost his hamster, of course, because, yes, I've taken hamsters to the vet before. I know that's not a wise investment, but come on.
Hey.
When you love an animal no matter what the size or the lifespan.
Sure, you'll take it.
And that's the kind of faith in humanity we need back because, you know, people have been watching his videos and enjoying his his personality and his presence, and it's time to give back. And
I think that's
great. I think that's awesome. I think that's fantastic. Good for him.
There are a million, and I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad you found that story because there are a lot of stuff like lots and lots of stories like that. And you have to seek them out sometimes. They're not exactly the front page news, but they're very nice. We have listeners that listen to us and have for a long time now.
Yeah.
And we have podcasts we listen to. I recently donated to Keith and the Girl with Hemda having her medical problems.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very...
You never know whose life you might be touching. In whatever way.
Right. In some crazy. You're exactly right. And I told you this in some trying to perk you up a little bit about the old Trump thing. Like, like no matter, even if it is as awful as we think, there could be something come out of that that's so unexpected, so impossible to predict. But this had to happen before that happened. That's not my truck, is it? Nope. Somebody honking. Honk, honk.
Honk, honk, honk. That's what you get when you
know what I mean. Right? I mean, there's some things that the universe, this one thing connects to another in a way you can never predict in a million years that led to that. And so, and things like going back to this dude. It's nice.
And I don't know, anybody who's listening, who's followed me on Pinterest knows I'm spending a lot of time pinning faith in humanity restored.
That's great.
Pins on there. I'm still spending a lot of time on, you know, my liberal feminist stuff, but, I feel like, and I've said this earlier in this show, I feel like those of us with a liberal bend instead of like our live and let live attitude that has kind of kept us in the background, we might really have to stand up for other people. Like if you don't stand up when somebody else's rights are being infringed upon and taken away from, who's going to stand up with you when your rights are being infringed upon and taken away from? And if you don't lend a hand to your fellow man when they've lost the most important thing in their life, which happens to be a hamster named Patches, then who's going to be there for you? We're humans. We have to reach out for each other.
I think that's great. And I think you're exactly right. We all have opportunities to do that at various times. And I think that's wonderful.
Thank
you. I'm glad everybody's checking out Patches is – dad. The late Patches, I guess we should say the late Patches.
The late Patches, yeah. I feel so bad for him because I was totally traumatized. It was Cracker Jack. My pop bought me a hamster when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I'd had a hamster. First, I had Sambo.
Sambo?
Sambo. I don't know why his name was Sambo. Mm-hmm. He was a little white hamster. And Sambo used to get out of his cage. He'd chew a hole in the plastic cages. You remember those plastic hamster cages? Yeah, Sambo was intense.
He was a little Andy Dufresne, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. His cage was almost all duct tape by the end because he'd chew out. He knew how to get out of the cage. And he would crawl out of the bathroom because they're active at night. So we put him in the bathroom so it would be like away from where everybody lived. He would go all the way through the house. He would climb up the side of the stairs. We saw how he'd do it. He'd get up the stairs. He'd go all the way up the stairs and come all the way through the upstairs of the house and get in bed with me. Like, I would wake up with my hamster because he'd come get in bed with me.
With Sambo the hamster.
Sambo the hamster did that for years. And then when Sambo died, actually, he didn't die.
He didn't die by you rolling over on him in your sleep, did
you? No, he didn't. He didn't. He got out one night, and there was a big flood that night, and he got out and didn't make it to my bed. I don't know where he went. Our house wasn't flooded, but, like, we never found him. Like, he was gone. Like, and I just remember that the water was high, but I was traumatized.
Well, Sambo got raptured up that night.
He did.
He went to little hamster heaven.
He did. No more Sambo. Then my grandpa took me that Sunday after church. Grandpa took me downtown. My grandpa Pop took me downtown and bought me a little baby. This one was a golden hamster. And his name was Cracker Jack because he was yellow like Cracker Jacks.
Yes.
And I had that hamster for almost 5 years. Like, they don't live that long.
Oh, well, Cracker Jack did.
They don't live that long. I had that hamster forever. And then he just quit pooping. Like, the hamster just stopped dumping whatsoever.
He probably had hamster cancer.
He probably did.
He
probably
had hamster colon cancer.
But we took him to the vet. And the vet, I can remember the vet, like, he pulls my mom out and he's like, "They don't live that long." I'm snorting. She's just like, "Well, what do I do? She's had it forever." He's like, "Give her some X-Lax. I don't know." And he's like, "You mean the hamster?" So we went home and we fed the hamster X-Lax, but he still died from not pooping.
Well, at least he gave
my hamster died of constipation, but he had some chocolate.
Well, at least he died with a little chocolate. And a little hamster smile on his face from the
chocolate. We buried him in a general, what was it? It was a little tiny square coffee cans. Do you remember the?
Coffee cans. Square?
Yeah, the powdered coffee stuff.
Instant coffee?
It was instant coffee. It was like some kind of fancy little instant coffee that my mom was drinking. But we had a hamster funeral and everything for Cracker Jack.
Is Cracker Jack still buried in the backyard?
Yes, he is. He had a tombstone for a long time till Dad got tired of mowing around it.
Oh. So now he's enshrined.
Yeah. Actually, I think he may be under the back corner of the house because they built an addition. But, yeah, there's a little hamster carcass underneath there, a skeleton.
Oh, but it's not like a pet cemetery. It'd be terrifying, a little zombie hamster to come back.
A constipated zombie hamster.
Yeah, a little angry, constipated.
He was a sweet hamster, though. He never bit. He was good. He really was. Like, most hamsters bite. They're mean.
That's why he lived to be 5, because he was good.
He was a good hamster.
God was giving him a good life.
Yeah.
Good hamster life.
That's my hamster story.
It was a good hamster story, and I like your story about Patches. I think that's fantastic.
Yes. I'm sorry about the loss of Patches.
Sorry. Maybe we can follow this dude. We'll start looking at some of his YouTube videos.
I know. I've been kind of obsessed with YouTube lately. I've been watching all my new age, indigo, adult, get in touch with your higher self, open your third eye videos. You've been leaving me alone.
Didn't you try to meditate the other day?
I did meditate the other day. It was awesome.
Yeah, but didn't you say Chairman Meow?
Yeah, she wants to come help. She wants to come help me meditate.
It's hard to meditate with Chairman Meow staring at you.
Yeah, I'm laying on the floor on my back, and I've got my knees kind of pulled up, and my knees are together, but my ankles are apart, and I've got a cat doing a figure eight between my ankles.
Meow, meow.
Yeah, exactly. Meow. And then she comes over and sits and stares you in the face. She's just like, "What are you doing, Mom? You're ignoring me. I haven't been fed yet."
They don't have that in the videos.
No, it's kind of hard to ignore sometimes, but oh well.
Oh well. That's our version of Patches.
Yeah, definitely. She's our chunk, our fluffy chunk.
Yeah, pets are awesome.
Yeah.
I see why they have so many benefits. The lowering the blood pressure, the anxiety, depression, blah, blah, blah. There's a million positive benefits from pets. I totally get it.
If on your worst day, they still have to be fed. They still have to be taken care of. I mean, I get it. Like,
they take an interest in you.
Yeah.
Just like that, how to win friends and influence people. They don't say a word, and they're totally engrossed in everything you say and do.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they're great. They're great listeners. They are, and therefore everybody loves them.
Do you talk to Chairman Meow when I'm not home?
Of course.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I have whole conversations with her, like goofy, crazy conversations. And sometimes it's goofy kitty talk that I do. It's like baby talk, but it's talking to the cat. And sometimes it's really deep stuff. You know, it just depends. Like, my cat listens to anything, so.
Like, Chairman Meow, what do you think the meaning of the universe is? Are we all just robots, like in Westworld, and there's an alien?
And that unblinking stare.
It's like, meow. Like, I think so too. Do you think the aliens will be good, Chairman Meow, like in Arrival, or do you think it's going to be more like Armageddon? Meow.
All right. Well, I have a confession, but like, you are not allowed to make fun of me for this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, in the last week or so, like, I have seen, it's been like deja vu type stuff. Like, I would swear that I just saw her walking through the house. And then I'll look over and she'll be like where she was just a minute ago. Like, I'm seeing imaginary cat everywhere.
Nice.
Like, I've had that like no fewer than five times.
Arrival. Last week.
It is. It is. It's weird stuff like that. I'm kind of like.
Your brain's being reprogrammed.
Out by it.
Your brain's being reprogrammed.
It kind of is. I had the. At one point, I even like went through in the closet, digging through, looking at her. I come out of the closet and she's sitting there. I'm like, you did not like, she didn't get past me. I know she didn't. Then there was another time where I really thought, and that was just before we did this podcast. I thought, cause I was sleeping with her on the couch and I got up, I went over and got something out of the kitchen. I think you'd already gotten something to eat. I got a bite after you. And I saw her like walking towards me and I'm like, ah, she's coming to get fed. And then I look and she's still on the couch and I'm like, okay, this is getting weird. This is getting kind of weird. I keep seeing this cat in multiple places at one time. It's Schrodinger's cat.
Maybe you're going in and out of different dimensions.
Maybe.
Different universes.
Maybe. Me or the cat one.
You're in some multiverse.
Me or the cat one.
We talked about that. There's these theoretical physicists all say that the fact that we perceive time as we perceive it is totally relative. Some other dimension, time may be going the opposite way.
Well,
we may be old and getting younger instead of younger getting older. It may be exactly the opposite. Maybe that's what's happening. You're going back and forth.
Well, the weird thing was, mm-hmm. after I thought I saw her like walking towards me because I was eating, then later, like, she was walking towards me in exactly the same way, which it's her normal route, but it was like, then I had to look back on the couch and make sure she wasn't on the couch. No, that really was the cat. And I'm like, this is fucking freaking me out.
If there's different dimensions and we're on different, and you know, we exist in different dimensions like they're theorizing now.
Then we have a chubby gray cat there too.
And in some of these dimensions, time goes backwards and sometimes time goes forward from our perspective now.
Okay.
Then doesn't that mean at some time, because your life's still the same length either way.
Yeah.
At some point, in exactly the midpoint of your life, in every dimension, mm-hmm. would be the same exact instant.
Well, then I'm going to live 88 years because I'm having a weird one this week.
Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe
I'm having a weird one. I've seen this cat fewer than five times.
We
I've
need to
had
tap into that. That's
weird.
That's a good cult. Premise. That's a good cult premise.
Been weird. It has been
the midpoint.
Really,
there would be a midpoint
really
in every universe where midpoint through your life, every one of you in every parallel universe would be the same instant.
I'm not seeing myself. That may be
a mystical.
I'm just seeing the cat.
Yeah, but you see, that's
maybe it's the midpoint of her life.
Maybe.
Okay, I can handle that. She's 12 or 13 now, so.
Who knows? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. But no, we could say that that's leading up to it. See, all these things are signs. We'll build a whole religion around this.
Okay.
We'll sign.
Then we'll get really rich, because that's how you get rich.
Yes, we'll Scientology this up. Well, Ron Hubbard did it. Why not?
Well, I tell you what, it makes me feel bad, because I watch some of these videos on YouTube, my New Age spiritual videos, and damn it, I keep getting advertisements for Scientology, and I'm like, not the same thing.
Let's get one of those little machines, do some auditing. Let's see how many aliens are floating around, how many ghost aliens are.
Well, there's a lot of ghost cats right now. That's what I've been telling you. There are ghost cats everywhere.
I don't think
in
I'm
this apartment.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with ghost cats in the apartment.
There are ghost cats following me around everywhere right now, and it's freaking me out, Hank.
And I'm freaking out.
I haven't told him this before. He's giving me this look like, "Are you out of your mind?"
Well, I like it. It's always an adventure with you, Miss Petra.
I'm a little weird.
A little?
Jerk.
That's what makes the world go around, Petra. Do our sign off. Let's get off here.
All right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.